It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, I've spent the whole 2 hours on a subject of appeasement and trying not to be the beast that someone was to you by being good to others and going along to get along. And some people get good at going along to get along and becoming loving to everyone and eventually become famous and loved for their personality, for their talent, and their good thing, good deeds. And Mother Teresa is one of them. But something's not right. Something's not right, and they're dying from cancer and different illness. And it makes people think sometimes, why do good people die young? It's what Shakespeare said, the good die young, and said something about the evil is often interred in their bones or something. I don't remember the exact quote about the evil, but it's good, the good die young. And they have, because they have conflict. And that conflict is disease. I think among violent people, wicked and violent people, there is no cancer. And I mean, people who are like, you know, Al Capone, but you know, when he was free to do what he wanted to do. But I'm talking about people who are really violent, and the kind of people that represent the tyrants of Hitler's time. I mean, I'm trying to give you a picture of a kind of a person who doesn't have any conflict. They're unconflicted completely. And they live to ripe old ages. There's probably still Nazi people walking around in Argentina somewhere, healthy as they can be. And the only way they die is from an accident or something. And then there are people who have conflict, and they're good people. A lot of you are good, but you're trying not to be something bad, see? And Mother Teresa's one of those. I said that a long time ago, that something's not right about that. Once you start to become very famous, and I quote Tony Snow, he doesn't look like he has a problem. He has, and the problem isn't cancer. It's deeper than that. But he is trying not to be something, and we don't know what that is because it's none of my business. But he has a way. He's developed. Tony Snow is a very nice, decent human being. He's everything Tony Snow needs to be on the outside, but there's conflict. He's struggling against something. And he's being rewarded for his performance. But I don't think he knows yet. He may know, and he may not give it away. Now, I'm going to talk about Mother Teresa in a minute, because that applies to her. I said that when she was deified a long time ago, and drawn through the streets of one of the big cities in India, I forget, long time ago. I'm not very good in details. I'm good in principles. I told my audience, something's not right there. There's something very morbid there. And I'm saying this, that's not real. And she's been glorified, and she doesn't know how to deal with... She starts doing good. You start off doing good. But maybe a person starts off with good intentions. You could go, for example, to Washington and really have good intentions to be a good senator or congressman. But when you get there, the environment is overwhelming. And slowly but surely, you don't realize it, but you lose to it. And then you're a different person. I've interviewed people who were running for office years ago, just for the interest, and I find them several years later when I see them again, they're different people. They don't know how to deal with power. It takes a very special kind of person to deal with the glory and the accolades that goodness sometimes brings, but mostly phony goodness brings about accolades and can drive a person. Give an example. Quick example, a soldier in a fit of anger does a great deed. He saves the lives of many of his soldiers, many men, and he gets a medal for it, but he does it in a fit of anger. So when he gets the medal and everybody glorifies him, he the sense of unworthiness is enhanced, but he has to put on, he appreciates, he likes it, but he hates it at the same time. And so there's conflict there from the praise he gets. He does not know how to stop it. He has to keep playing that role, but he has a terrible conflict inside. And so Mother Teresa is that way. We're going to talk about that, and then I'm going to come back to my calls. I'm going to handle this very quickly, because I've laid a lot of foundation for it.
It's time for Advice Line.
I am just blown away by how amazing you are. You're the light, and I'm a moth. I'm telling everyone that I know about you, there's not enough of what you have to say to go around.
Call 1-800-866-8883.
I want to thank you with all my heart for being there to kind of get on the straight again. That's a wonderful feeling. It energizes me and enlightens me and gives me strength. It's well appreciated.
Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Let me give you the phone number, because I'm going to deal with Mother Teresa situation. I've been talking about her and then not talking about her and talking around her and hoping that you'll see that you are very much like her in some way, sort of like a hypocrite. That you have a feeling of inferiority, inadequacy, but you do something well. And maybe you bend over backwards to please people and you get rewarded for it, but it becomes a form of slavery. And you trade something of yourself for the continuance of the sense of worth they give you, which is really worthless, but you can't stop. Because the only sense of worth you've got. And in the beginning, you can think you're good and you're loving, and it kind of works for a while. Many years may go by before you realize that you're becoming empty. And you begin to hate the people that you're loving, because they don't know that your behavior is a compensation for something. You're trying not to be something you hate, so that's why you're so good, hoping to be loved. You don't want to be like your mother or father, so you may, when you grow up, you say to yourself, you know, I'm not going to be hated by my kids. So you're too good to them, and then the kids turn into your mother, and you spoil them rotten, and they abuse you, and you hate them. You resent. They start resenting the kids, but it's all silent, and then you feel guilty for that, because here you are, you've got to blow up in any minute, because your kids don't appreciate you. Look how much money you bend over backwards to help the husband, whoever it is, and you have compassion, and they exploit this weakness because you so badly want to be loved, and you do more for them, and all you do is spoil them rotten and make them advantage takers, and it irritates you. But then there are some people who are not advantage takers, but they really think you're a nice person and you do nice things. There's no question about that. And they reward you the same way. So it's a whole lifetime of being rewarded, and you cannot stop the behavior. And this is what I said about Mother Teresa when she died. I said, you're not looking at reality. Here it is. Now, here's the evidence, if you can call it evidence. Mother Teresa did not feel Christ's presence for the last half of her life, and that's a long big chunk. Remember, for a while it works. Times UK, that's a big paper. That same as, it's a conservative version of the Times in New York. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who has been put on the fast track to sainthood, was so tormented by doubts about her faith that she felt a hypocrite. It has emerged from a book of her letters to friends and confessors. Shortly after beginning her work in the slums of Calcutta, she wrote, "Where is my faith? Even deep down, there's nothing but emptiness and darkness. If there is a God, please forgive me. If there is a God," can you believe? In letters 8 years later, she's still expressing such deep longing for God, adding she felt repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal. Her smile to the world from her familiar, weather-beaten face was a mask or cloak, she said. "What do I labor for? If there be no God, there could be no soul. If there be no soul, then Jesus." You are not true, you're not true, then Jesus, you're not true. And then basically that's enough. That is, you don't need to read the rest of it. It speaks the same thing. Now, you could be one of those people. You could be laboring for love and become empty. And you cannot stop. And I tell you, Elvis Presley died from that illness. Because once he didn't do much for the world, but he was a nice young man. And he had a way about him. And he wiggled in a certain way and titillated people. And it excited them to forget their pain. And, well, that's valuable to people who need that to escape. Some people eat to escape pain, and some people take drugs, and some people put people on pedestals and give them the power to make them feel good, to animate them, because they're so dead, see. And he animated everybody, you know, with his rock and roll stuff. I can't imitate it, sorry. But then the money came and the power came, and he didn't know how to deal with it. And then instead of being a star, he realized he was a slave, a puppet on the end of a string. That's very painful. This is silent. You can't tell anybody. He started to hate people, but then it bonds him more to the behavior. Because it makes you feel guilty. And then, having a conscience, he misunderstands the conscience. He misunderstands the nature of conscience. It's coming from being angry, resentful. As if resentment could free him. No, it binds him to the behavior. And so the pain got so great. But all you love him. You loved him, and he was your puppet. You made him a god, and you're the good. And the reason why this is so powerful, because the pleasure he gave you was so intense, he intensely made you forget your flaws. See, that's it. He helped to justify, soothe the pains of your anxiety, and your life that leads to death. That's basically what it is. And so it's very powerful stuff. And so, but also dangerous to a young fellow like that who doesn't know how to deal with all that money and all that adulation and all those girlfriends. Everybody telling him how wonderful he is. But he didn't feel wonderful. He felt empty, desolate. He couldn't say anything. He must have had a psychiatrist who didn't help him very much. And he died from an overdose of drugs. Why does a person take drugs when you have everything? No, when you have everything, you also have nothing. Because what so profit a man, he gains the whole world and lose his soul. Yum, 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 yum. Now, Mother Teresa wasn't a bad woman. She did her best to be good. And then she got famous doing the good. Didn't know how to deal with it. Because it was... Well, I'll give you one more example, Dave McCall's. The one I always give. The man that came to Jesus, who was a very rich man, he was the one that got resurrected, I think, Lazarus. And he was rich, and then he died, and he got resurrected. But he said, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom? So he got the answer, do the commandments. He said, I do all those. This is just rough, quickly. He said, what else do I have to do? So Jesus understood that something was wrong, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Very smart man for 30 years old, or 31, whatever. And much smarter than me, but I'm getting the drift of it. He knew immediately, like I sometimes know immediately, often, immediately, the machinations of the mind. He says, give all your money away and follow me, because he knew that the sense of worth came from being seen as a giving person to the poor, and he did. He was that kind of person. He was wealthy, and he tended to the needs of the poor, and he was compassionate, and people loved him. And his sense of worth was built on that, and that's worthless. Because if he didn't have any money, then he wouldn't have any sense of worth. So when your sense of worth, that's why people jump out of a window or jump out of a top of a building when they lose all their money. Because their sense of worth is built on money. See? And they can't live with it. Can't live without it. They weren't living with it. They were dying. Sense of worth is worthless. As long as they had the money, they felt like they were something. But when the money goes away, suddenly, terrible pain. And sometimes, often suicide is the remedy. Bang. Drugs. Anything. You spend all your money because you think it's the money. So a lot of people, a lot of very talented people got become millionaires many times over because they got the talent, but when they get there, they think it's the money again and they want to get rid of it. And when they get while they're getting rid of it, they're getting loved. You see, same thing. And they never get better. It's a horrible thing to be caught up in. Okay, we're going to take our calls now. Remember, the foundation of human understanding needs support for this program, because I get to say things that advertisers won't couldn't stand, because I bash the right and the left. There's nothing sacred to me, nothing. And I would have you be free from all the things that are advertised, all the things that you really don't need, all those drugs. Most of you would never need them. But they're just making new and newer drugs as you get weaker and weaker and weaker, and you live longer and you become longer, and that encourages you, and you're getting, life is becoming empty, but you've got lots of people loving you and surrounded by welfare people and Medicare and all that sort of stuff and social services and your preacher, whoever. Someone's always supporting you. You don't need psychological support. That's dangerous. Yeah, you need food in your stomach. I understand that. You can work for that and save your money and use it wisely, and you'll be okay. But you don't know how to use it wisely, because when you have an emptiness, you've got to fill it with something. And that's where the problem is. You can't save a whole lot. Most of you can't. You live from paycheck to paycheck. I didn't. That's why I'm where I am today. All right, now we're going to take our calls. Please support the foundation. It's your tax deductible. Most of it's tax. It's all tax deductible when you give a donation. We're a 501c3. We're a church, but we want you to belong to you. Okay, that's mostly. There's no doctrine. Jesus didn't leave a doctrine. He said, "I send you the Holy Spirit," meaning you're the temple. Basically, you don't have to go to the temple anymore, where they dole out forgiveness and favors. No, you don't need it. It's all free. And when your health and mental health is free, what are they going to do? When you don't need all those alcohol and drugs anymore, what are they going to do? When you don't need governing anymore, you don't need to be told what to do anymore. You don't need that hocus pocus and all those rituals and doctrines anymore. What are they going to do? You're going to be a lot richer, and they're going to be a lot poorer. So you don't see. You see, really, that advertisers don't have any use for me. I don't have much use for them either. All right, now we're going to go to Greg. Hello, Greg. What can I do for you? We got something interesting here or not? Hello, Greg. Is Greg there? No, Greg. Go to Chuck. Okay, Trucker, this happens with Greg. Call back, or Bean. All right, I guess it's a good thing to lose it in the middle. Yeah, okay, good. All right, Gary in Florida. Hello, Gary. What can I do for you?
Well, you've done plenty already by that stunning denunciation of people who do good only to be let down in the end because of their goodness is actually probably wickedness. And unfortunately, I've fallen into that myself.
Well, that's good. And, I'm glad you see it.
I'm trying to, you're helping extricate me from this
predicament.
Like Mother Teresa, with my own family, my own kids have turned their back on me. I gave them each like $10,000 when my wife died 7 years ago, and that wasn't enough, I guess, or I don't know what.
Well, what'd you do that for? I never gave my kids anything.
I like it when you said they're still talking about the day that you gave them a quarter or something.
Yeah, you remember that. So you've been listening for a while.
Oh, yes, yes. I hate to say it, but I've got some records called How Your Mind.
Oh, my God.
I'll sell them to you.
I got a couple of packs up there for posterity.
Yes, but I did call on but I really, I think one quick thing. Henry Kissinger said something when Ronald Reagan was the former governor of California, in his acceptance speech or prior to it, he said, in reference to the Carter administration, "When you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there." I used to be a limo driver in Palm Beach years ago, and I had Henry Kissinger once. And anyway, the point being that I used to think I knew where I was going, but I guess I got off on the wrong road myself, just like some of the political people. And you've gotten diabetes, and I've heard you talk about that, and I did record the porridge recipe.
Oh, good, good.
Internet.
Oh, that's good. Gonna, oh, but do you get the latest one? Did you get the latest one?
I hope so. Just the other day, a couple
yeah,
days
last,
ago.
Yeah, last night and the night before.
Yes, yes. And I want to thank you for that. As
that one is really good. The difference is that I'm using flaxseed and ground up flaxseed, and it has a very strange property that it doesn't need cooking, because when you put a little bit of warm milk with it and you stir it up, it turns into, well, I don't know how to describe it, but it turns into a jelly-like stuff. It's just a little jelly-like quality to it, but it's you can eat it raw. It's so and delicious. It has a delicious quality. But if you mix it with the other ingredients I give, then you have a porridge that is absolutely nourishing and will help you lose weight. And all of the carbohydrates and the bran, the fiber, is perfectly balanced. See, perfectly balanced. It is like 80%. 8 parts of carbohydrates to 10 parts of fiber, or something like that, or maybe the other way around. It is so close that the food digests is absorbed slowly into your body, and it because all the things there are nourishing. You go 5 or 6 hours, even as a diabetic, and your blood sugar will be as steady as it can be, and you won't have that craving for food, especially if you're meditating. And because, you know, many of us have eaten wrong foods all our life, and our hungers are not necessarily psychological. It's the fact that we're eating for pleasure and eating lifeless food and just, you know, just the cardboard rather than the substance. And we don't have the natural raw food, the natural thing that God made for us to eat. In other words, we're eating Mother Strudel instead of God's apple. You see the difference?
Yes.
Yes. So,
yes,
so the hungers are the body is hungry and it's never satisfied. But that conspires with the fact that you are the wrong of it, the wrong of eating Mother Strudel as a filling. So you're eating for the wrong reason. You're not eating with mindfulness, because if you're mindful, you wouldn't eat that crap.
Yeah, it's corrupting influence on the body.
Yeah, that's right. It's corrupting not only just because it's corrupted itself, but it's because you enjoy it more than the real apple. So
yes,
there's too much mother in it and not enough God in the eating of it.
That's right. And
see?
I just want to say something to your listeners, that just recently I almost made a contribution to a very well-known national Christian television program, which I'm sure has plenty of money, and I said, what am I doing? My wife is sort of a religious zealot, if you will, and I was appeasing her, and I said, damn it, no, I'm going to, you know, if anything, I'm giving to Roy, because he's the one that's helped me. And they're just getting richer and richer. And I heard you say one night about how they get dependent on these ministers, and you know, and then they send in these contributions and ever increasing amounts, and do very little for them. And
yeah, religion doesn't address the problem.
I've been like you all my life, Roy. I've never fit in a church anywhere, yet I believe in Christ.
That's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I'm a woeful sinner that.
But are you ready for me? Are you ready for me yet?
I hope
after
so.
After all these years, people come back to me like that. They come back. I wish I'd listened to you 20 years ago. They say.
I do too. I'm 61 now, and you're still a father to me, and you always will be. My father's long gone, and now my mother just died, and I'm getting a lot of strength. I just bought a computer, and I'm glad I can get to hear you. I'm not putting you on a pedestal, but I'm saying
No. I'm not getting that. You are. Now, what can I do for you now?
Well, I just wanted to
make contact. You just want to make contact, or what?
Well, yes, I did, and just some general advice, because I know you suffered greatly with the health.
Oh,
problems.
I have.
I think you were swimming in the canal in Venice or something.
I have a house on the waterfront. I bought it very cheap when they didn't have a breakwater, and it was a fire sale, and then they eventually built the breakwater, and it's worth a lot of money now. But then I swam in the channels, but then I forgot that there's a sewage plant 1 mile down away, and I got a belly full of that, and didn't really know it, and it almost killed me. And for several years I went through a lot of hell, and then when I got rid of that, I had to suffer with all the symptoms that one just produced the other, until, you know, I almost died from heart attack. And but then that failed, you know, my bypass failed, but then I grew new capillaries, so I got it's all brand new again.
That is most amazing.
And yeah, and an old man shouldn't be, an old man like me with diabetes and everything shouldn't be getting new capillaries. And I swam 2 miles this morning. I ran and swam 2 miles. I ran walked a half a mile and a half on my machine and blew off 250 calories. Not very good. I nearly always do 350. And then I swam for almost 2 hours. And I never stopped, crawl fast, and I moved. And that's about 2 miles, maybe 2.5 miles.
I'll tell you, you're going to outdo Jack LaLanne.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But the point is, I don't overdo it. I don't overdo it. And then I'm back to work again.
Why I called you was I can feel my health failing. I'm 61 and I am a little scared. And
come on now, you should be scared. You know,
you sound young and strong, and I'm not as, like I used to be a good tennis
player. You come up and arm wrestle with me.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't live that far from you, really. I'm just here temporarily in Florida. I actually live in California, but I do.
Well, why don't you come up to one of the Sunday morning sessions? And
I definitely do.
But look, I don't know what to do for you right now, but the thing is, if you would just be serious about getting your life together and sitting quietly and really doing this little meditation and follow the yellow brick road, follow the bouncing ball, because it's really quite simple when you're sincere, and you have to live your life. You know, I'm not a pushy kind of person, so you live your life and you listen to me and you put me off, because so you can live your life more selfishly, but you like listening to me, and you put me in reserve, and that's okay. And the good Lord gives us a certain amount of life to live wrongly, so we can discover that it is wrong. See?
Oh, yes. Oh,
otherwise,
yeah.
Yeah, see that. So that's okay.
I want to thank you personally for being there for all of us, and God has blessed you. Amen. That's all.
Thank you very much, my friend. I'm going to go to my other calls. They're waiting. Now we're going to go to Greg in Arizona. Oh, we're coming up on a break. Well, go to. Can Greg hold on? All right, and you can stroke. Can you stroke him a little bit? All right, okay, we'll be right. And we have a couple of calls coming up. 866, the phone line's open if you want to call in. We can make the last half an hour so bright and meaningful. Well, I don't know what to sell you. I wish you'd go to. I tell you what you need, what you'd like to, besides going to the military, going to the website and logging on to the. Our military outreach, I think you'll find that very interesting, because I'm one of the few people on earth that knows how to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. I can also help you with a lot of things that medicine can't help you with and religion can't help you. And I'm into science a lot too, and I'm going to help you not need oil one day. It won't be long. And by the way, you can get a copy of my thesis called Electricity from Gravity. That's what it's about, but that's not the actual title. But it's about that. It's the theory. In other words, I don't want the patent office, when I finally produce the machine, to say this is, you know, the tooth fairy. There's no such thing as perpetual motion. I'm going to create the theory of gravity that it's out there differently than what it is right now, is that universal force is everywhere, everywhere. It's just a sea of energy, and I can know exactly what this energy is, what it looks like, how it functions, how it makes matter, and how you can get electric current from it. And it's a theory. You'll find it interesting. It's $50 if you want to call the foundation, donation to the foundation. And schools and universities is free.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness? relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for New Insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The foundation of human understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.
Well, I'm going to read some more about... I was looking at the article David sent me on Mother Teresa, and there's really some more interesting stuff here. I'm going to talk about that after the break. It's really fascinating. I'll read the whole thing. If we have no calls, that is, I'll try to finish the program, but we do have some calls. I'll get as much as I can here, because it shows you the emptiness of her life. And the church tried to cover it up. They wanted to destroy the letters, but it's best we understood this, because there's a lesson in it for all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, please consider going to my website and downloading The Secret of Life itself. It is a simple, basic, gentle concentration meditative state. It's just, if you close your eyes, look, if you read about an exercise, and you just read about exercise, you know, don't do it. That's not exercise. It doesn't do your heart any good. So your spiritual heart isn't good unless you simply follow those words quietly in your head. See, you start off and you close your eyes, and I just ask you to put your hand by your side and be aware of it, and feel the warmth in your hands, and that is new energy. And we go from there, and you get lost in your thoughts. I say, watch that, see? Come back out of your thoughts, because when you're lost in your thoughts, you forget to be aware. Be mindful. And then there's a little exercise of doing that. There's not much more to that. Then there's a little bit of advice which somehow works effortlessly while you're doing that exercise, that little concentration. You don't know why it works, but it does. In other words, it works to overcome anger, and there's no effort in overcoming. It just isn't there. And you get good at it. Nobody can intimidate you. You wonder, what is this magic that I couldn't do before? See? So if you go to my website, FHU.com, foundation website, I keep saying my website, you know. I started this church foundation 47 years ago. And so, you know, it's not the kind of church. You know I'm not your typical minister. You can call me Roy. Jesus didn't call him Reverend Jesus, did they? Paul. First name's fine. And I appreciate your respect when you call me Mr. Master. That's very nice of you. If you want to do that, you can. All right, we'll be right back after the break. And I've got to read you something before I take my next call. I can't keep you in suspense any longer about Mother Teresa. Here we are. We go again after the break. 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com.
With Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is the second part of what I'm saying, how Mother Teresa was driven by approval. And that was consoling her soul, the sense of worth from the love of the world. But that wasn't it. But she couldn't understand her own conflict, you see. A lot of people don't. So they wrote a book. Someone wrote a book. It's called Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light, he calls it. But he reveals some of the writings to her friends that the church tried to hush up. But this is such good stuff. It's relevant to all of you. I'm told She's Mother Teresa, come to be my light. This is the name of the book, which reveals the full extent of her long, dark night of the soul. I am told, she said, that God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. She wrote at one point, I want God with all the power of my soul, yet there's a terrible separation. Excuse me. It caught me by surprise, excuse me. Okay, I want to God with all the power of my soul, and yet between us there is terrible separation. On another occasion she wrote, I just feel that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not wanting to be God, of God not wanting, not really existing. See? And it goes on like this. And now we have a new understanding of her life, an interior life. And the church authorities decided to keep her letters, even though one of her dying wishes was that they should be destroyed. That was her wish. Even then, she wanted to keep the illusion of worth alive. That's all she had. There was complete dishonesty there. You can worship people who do good for you. You can worship, you know who you worship more so than much. You like, you can love more than Mother Teresa. You can, Elvis Presley, you can love him. They got a shrine with him, haven't they? On the other hand, Einstein, he understood that. He didn't want any shrine. He says, you can cremate me and then there won't be any shrining. See? Won't be any place you can go. That was a neat idea. I don't like the idea of that, but actually, the idea of cremation is a little bit abhorrent to me. All right, we're going to go to our call now. Greg, in Arizona. Hello.
Hi, Roy. How are you? Hi.
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen, you know, I've listened to you for a long time. I'm a truck driver, and I catch you around the country, and I just really appreciate the things that you have to say. I think you're very insightful. But I just... you know, I just ended a, well, we're in the process of ending a 10-year relationship.
It's not a marriage, huh?
It's not a marriage. We
oh, dear. Well, that's not healthy. It's not healthy as a relationships.
Yeah, we lived together for 10 years. And I guess I'm starting to realize, as I have, you know, lots of time to think about the situation, that I think maybe she really didn't love me because I think what she...
No, you didn't love her either.
Well,
you know, couldn't. You can't live.
I'm open to anything you have to say about it. I mean,
I know, but you know why I say it. I know it because you, a noble man, and I'm not saying you can't be noble, but you haven't been.
And we have to kids and put them through school.
But that's not good. But it's not good enough.
Roof over her head.
I know, but you did it for a reason. Yeah, you're not getting like a Mother Teresa. You got something from that. What you came across was a woman who was in distress and had kids, and I don't know. Imagine her husband ran away or something, or died or something like that. It had to be, or she just never had a husband at all and just had kids.
She had a husband and she was together with him for 15 years. But
and then what happened?
I'm not sure why they. Well, what I can tell you what she told me. What she told me was that she felt like he was her daddy and not her lover or her husband. And
in what way? Give me an example of that.
Well, she would, for instance, say that, you know, he would just pressure her to live a certain way or to do certain things, to raise the kids a certain way, and she was incredibly protective over her children.
Oh, no, but protective is protective. That could be very dangerous. To protect the children from the love of a father. Now, I'm assuming that this man was a good man.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I am guessing that she could not. She had no tolerance for the goodness in this man. This woman is a control freak. She wants to spoil the children and have the children love her. And the father wanted them to grow up independent of mother, independent because they should leave their mother and father and become free agents. But as long as they're tied to the spoiling of their mother, that's like the spoiling of a government.
And
they'll never
exactly
be free. I know, but then you married this woman because you were weak for her, and he wouldn't give up trying to save those kids. But she was protecting the kids from his good correction.
I believe that, and I believe that through the years, as I began to realize that it was, you know, them and their.
Why would you? Why did you marry her? You married her because she gave you something.
I didn't marry her.
You live with her. You live with her and brought up the kids because you got something from her. They weren't your kids. They weren't your kids.
No. But,
What's the problem with her? Well, what's the problem with her now? You tell me what the problem is. I can guess it already.
The problem with her now is, well, I don't feel like I'm a part of their family.
Of course not.
I
she owns
like
it.
I need
she
to pay the bills and go back.
I know. Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You're paying with your life. She gave you sex.
Actually,
and you submitted to her.
Well, let me throw this in there. Sex was not ever really even that good. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I really
No, never mind. Never mind. It may not be that good because when you can't have sex with a
She gained a lot of weight to the
But you know why that is, don't you?
Like, because she didn't want to have sex?
That she didn't want you. It was a way of pushing
money.
You away. She just wanted your money. And you helped her to spoil the children, and so she owns the children, and the children were her family, and you were just the donkey.
That's pretty much
serves
it.
You right.
That's a bitter pill to swallow, man.
I know, but I care for you. See, I see a goodness in you, and a lot of men like that.
That's what I wanted to do. I mean, I've known the Lord since I was a little boy. My father was very.
No, you haven't. You don't love the Lord and shack up with a woman, and especially when you knew that he was a good man, and you called it protective of the kids. She was protecting the kids from being made whole.
I don't know if you would call it naivety or what. I don't know. I mean, I just really at this point in my life as a 39-year-old man don't really want to waste any more time.
Oh, thank God
like
for that.
Start doing some things that are.
That's all right. It's fine.
My life,
okay.
Even though my work life is very good, but my personal life, I just feel like I would just love to have a healthy relationship.
Well, may I suggest this to you?
Yeah.
That you have none at all for a long time.
Yeah, I prepared for that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go out with a lady, be a gentleman, and don't press your advantage, even though it's offered.
Yes.
If you can do that, you'll become a man. And then the women will start calling you all kinds of names. What's the matter with you? Aren't you a man? They're going to seduce you because the women today are hungry.
They're hungry
vixens.
No, actually, no woman has ever said that to me, including the one I lived with for 10 years.
Well, maybe you're not that good looking then.
That's for somebody else to judge. I'm not that big.
No, I'm just kidding you.
Right. But I mean, actually, I've kind of in my life have tried not to be hyper masculine. It's because of just the way that I was.
But no, the trouble is, you're a people pleaser. You're a people pleaser, and you give in to a strong woman.
I want their acceptance.
You want to be loved, and you want their acceptance, and then you give yourself for that acceptance. It's worth nothing.
Yeah.
And now you've discovered it, haven't you?
It's become pretty obvious here over the last few years.
You see, well, now would you listen to Papa Roy here?
Sure.
And let me give you a little sound advice. What
sure,
kind of work
absolutely.
Do you do? What kind of work
I'm
do you do?
I'm a truck driver.
Oh, you're a truck driver. Well, save your money. Now start saving your money and start a business.
I've got quite a bit saved already.
Yeah, start a business because truck driving pays pretty good. And keep away from the ladies. And when you find a nice lady and you have dinner with her and lunch, then be a man. Don't look for approval. Enjoy her company, and don't reject her advances, like shrink from it. But it's just like dealing with, when you're dealing with seduction, it's just poison. A woman's seduction is very violating. And once it violates, you become addicted to the violating as if it was love. And you will serve for it and become a slave of it, and she'll have contempt for you. It's the same story. Over and over again. So you've learned your lesson. The women can be dangerous. Woman's love, if that's what you want, is deadly. It's poison. Now
if you're looking for acceptance,
I never look for acceptance from my wife. She wanted me to look for acceptance because that way she can dominate me and she can play the traditional role of King Kong with bloomers. See? And she wanted me to put her on a pedestal, and therefore she did all these nice things for me, so I would play that role and put her on a pedestal. I won't put anybody, I have no other gods before him. I'm not going to build my life around her approval. I'm going to do the right thing, but I'm not going to do it for approval.
Right.
And so she can give me all the approval that she wants to get my approval, but it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. See, because when she tries to get the approval, then she gets resentful, because she's doing something for it, and I won't play. And the result is, or was, that she got angry. And so yeah. and then she bonded herself more closely, and she became less of a human being by becoming angry, and then tried harder to get my approval, and I don't play. And so I then become dominant. But the trouble is I become dominant in a way that, from her hating me. But I understand the system. Since I understand the system, I didn't hate back, and so therefore I got two opportunities to be the man of the home. One, because I have a woman who's manipulating and wants to set me up to fail, but then she ends up, you know, in failing herself and becoming more and more bonded to me, and at least she does the right things, even if she does it for the wrong reason. That's her conflict is her problem. Got that? Her conflict is her problem. I don't have any. I'm a man, and I will give that conflict. I will not play, and I will feel sorry for that conflict. And then one day she'll wake up, please God, and she realizes, oh my God, what am I doing? I've got a good man. I'm hating him for because I can't have my own way. That was that man you're talking about. That was the real father to these kids. And then she was protecting them from the kids, as my wife tend to protect them from my correction, believe it or not. She wanted to be the King Kong with bloomers. Women are very selfish gods. They're very jealous gods. And so it's very difficult to deal with women. You've got a lot of growing up to do before you can have any relationship with a woman at all after all these years. And you're going to have to dig a little deeper. I'm going to have to let you go because I think you know what to do with meditation.
Hi, this is David Masters. And I want you to imagine for a minute that you have a job where the person you work for decides that day whether or not he will pay you for the work that you've done. Essentially, that is exactly what happens with Roy Masters. Every day he does a radio program, and you, the listener, are like his employer. And you decide whether or not you will support the radio program and the work that Roy Masters has just done. If you're interested in supporting the foundation, you can purchase every radio show that you hear. Just listen for the number, and if you're not sure what it is, call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227, Monday through Friday, regular business hours, Pacific time. Or visit the website at fhu.com. Be a good employer. Please make sure that you support Roy Masters and the work that he is doing for you. Cato, the Roman statesman and historian who lived between 234 BC and 149 BC, said, "He who hesitates is lost. Swift and resolute action leads to success. Self-doubt is a prelude to disaster." Have you ever asked yourself, why haven't I acted on what I've been hearing from Roy Masters' radio program, or chosen to begin the process of personal transformation through downloading Roy Masters' free audio instruction called Be Still and Know? Perhaps there's something within you that is keeping you from moving forward and leaving the past behind. It's your choice, but don't forget, moments come, opportunities are lost. He or she who hesitates is also lost. It's time to begin the process. Don't put it off any longer. Act to change your life for the better.
Cruel people have power, and they get their energy from you through the way you respond to them. Hypocrites have the same wickedness operating through a deceptive shield of phony goodness. It too gets inside you by the way you react to them. Your life is in danger from people, some of them members of your own family, who chip away, harp, nag, aggravate the life out of you until you feel like killing them or yourself. But you can't fight them with anger, because they use your resentment to drive you crazy, to make you conform, to make you feel guilty, to bring out the worst in you, or terrify you into not facing them and their kind. But take heart. There's not a single problem in the world you can't solve if you'll only learn to stop being resentful. Set your browser to www.fhu.com, fhu.com, and get some answers.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, we're going to take a caller from Detroit, and he wants to know how I come up with my recipes. Is that right, Ronald?
Yes, Mr. Masters. How you doing?
I've got lots of them.
Yeah, but I wanted to let you know, I talked with you, I believe it was 3 days ago, about your little porridge, for lack of a better term. You gave me that recipe.
Did you make it?
Yeah, not only did I make it, I had it the last 2 days, and I
did everything come out all right?
The first day didn't do nothing. The second, because I've got other issues that I'm gonna call you in the future about, but health issues. But I'll tell you what, I haven't felt this good today, which is the second day I had it. It amazed me, and I attribute it all to your little porridge there. And even there's an elderly lady, I'm in my mid-40s, in a rural area, you know, a little ways down she lives, and she had it the last 2 days, too, and she told me that she feels fantastic today, too.
It's magic, isn't it? It's magic.
The secret
is the balance of the foods that are in there.
Uh-huh.
And the knowledge of it that goes in it. Huh?
It's good, too.
It's delicious.
Yes, that's what the lady, I have to be honest, the lady down there said, she called it, let me have some of that baby food. but I think it was good. She thought it was all right, you know, but she didn't want me to tell you that, but she's a nice lady, and I told her I was going to rib her and tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a quickie recipe. You want a good one? You want another one? Are you there? Is he gone? Hello? Oh, he dropped off. Okay, let me give you a quickie one. Nice, quick one. Patty, lady worked for me for a long time. Very nice lady. She brought me some homegrown tomatoes. No, tomatoes, tomatoes. Do you say potatoes or potatoes? So what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to eat my porridge first thing in the morning. And that's got nourishment like you wouldn't believe. And that'll go for... See, a diabetic can go for a long time because there's things in there that you just don't normally eat, like raw rice bran and raw wheat bran and lecithin and apple pectin and stuff like that. And that's all wonderful. Have you ever looked at the instructions of I don't have time to read it tonight, but you read the label on the lecithin, and see what value there is just there, let alone the raw rice bran. Rice bran, the best part of the rice. And bran, wheat bran, the best part of the wheat. There's also wheat germ that's good for you, too. You can put it in there if you want to. The best part of everything. Mostly eat white bread and junk. You throw all the good stuff away, and no wonder you're sick. Then you got medicine to save you. It's kind of dumb. So here said, how do I arrive at that? Because I knew that food is your medicine. Who was it said? Someone said it. Was it Aristotle? I don't know who it was. Let food be your medicine. I'll find out who said that. Somebody can help me with it. It doesn't matter. It's truth. So now here's a quickie recipe. I'm going to take those tomatoes and and put two of them in the blender, and I'm going to squash them. Zzz, make it go real fast. I'm going to put a little lecithin in it. Lecithin is an emulsifier, but it's very, very good. It's creamy. And will bond if you put some cream, if you put real cream in there, or little milk, little tiny bit of cream or milk in there. It blends the water with the cream, with the oil, so that it, and itself is creamy. And so if you put a little, now, you let that blend, you let it go on fast until it heats up. And don't let it get too hot. Just let it get to be a bit to maybe 115, 110 degrees. That's all about that. And, you know, it's a little warmer than your body temperature, because you don't want to kill the enzymes. Enzymes are essential for living. Living food. Your body makes them, but you die from what your body doesn't make. See? And it's raw food as much as possible, but it tastes like cooked. So you put that in there, and it starts to get warm, and you put a tiny bit of milk in there, just a little bit, or a little cream if you want to. But you put salt, and I suggest stevia. Stevia is not sugar. It's a sweetener that goes with anything sour, and you'll think it's sugar. And it's very good for diabetics. And you've got soup, and it tastes like, it tastes better than Campbell's soup. From, you know, I used to like tomato soup when I was a kid from the can. So there you are. So simple. It's not cooked. You don't have to cook it. It will taste cooked. Just let it run in your mixer, blender. High speed blenders, you know, does it very fast, and you can play with that. And as a wonderful drink, wonderful soup, and it's very nourishing. It's simple. You can make that in 5 minutes. But it's raw. It's a little better than eating a raw tomato. It's a little bit more difficult. It's nicer that way. Eat raw tomatoes if you want to. But that's one simple recipe that's just really good for your prostate. So they say. All right, well, what's good for me that may keep me well is support for the program. Thank you very much for your donations to keep this program on the air. This is program 4872, and 4870, 4871, 4872, 3 hours being repeated at midnight on XM and FHU.com. And my number Monday is 866 Radio Roy.
How many of you have thoughts that really aren't yours? How many of you have seen this?
Thoughts are a natural activity of a brain. But the question is, can you differentiate between what is authentic to you and what has come into you from external sources? That's the big question.
This is David Masters. It's been over 10 years since I've given a discussion in Los Angeles, but I'm coming back soon, and I'd like to see you there. I have two very important topics to discuss. On Friday, October 12th, from 7 to 11 p.m., the topic will be Love, Don't Hate Your Stress. On Saturday, October 13th, from 7 to 11 p.m., the topic will be The Liberating Power of Awareness. Call the Foundation of Human Understanding right now at 1-800-877-3227 or visit the website www.fhu.com and make your reservation. There's only room for 160 people each evening.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness, relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for New Insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The foundation of human understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.